you can connect. And that's not always easy for people. As they get older, it's harder for them to move around. Technology can enable connection to family. It can enable access to a broader world. It can connect you to your parishes, your synagogues, and your religious organizations. We just set up one of our members' houses. She's a devout Catholic and she loves going to church, but she can't every Sunday for some health reasons. And she couldn't hear the sermons on her computer speakers. And so we set up external speakers to her computer so that she could attend services in her living room. And so helping them use technology to stay connected to their community, to their family, to discover new things to do, to keep them engaged in community is really, really important. And it can play a really critical role, some of what you were talking about, which getting the different senior centers connected and sharing information.
Let me make a comment. I've got a question that fits in right here. Since I guess COVID was the thing I pointed out was because it made people stay away from other people. And, started doing electronic devices more broadly. But I think I've noticed, I don't think I'm the only one, it's caused a lot of isolation. Electronics are good to connect up, and you find out anything you want about somebody on Google, or you can book a plane reservation or whatever. But it has a bad tendency of isolating people because they use the electronics. They don't see people anymore. And I think that is a problem because you'd be a worse problem. And I liken the antagonism that gets on the internet. People can do things now that they would never have done. I'll say 10 years ago, because they've gotten used to being anonymous and insulting or berating somebody or something. Now they've come out of the shell a bit and they do it in person. I hope your program also employs some of the more human things to get people back together too. So, technology is not always the answer. And I am sort of anti what you're doing, but I think it's a round picture of any kind of names.
It's really good feedback. And it's, technology does not solve everything. And it shouldn't be used as a proxy for human connection. It should be used to enhance human connection. And the basis of our service is in person for that reason, is getting to know people, eyeball to eyeball shape. We were joking early on when we were thinking about what's the right solution, because there's a lot of tech support out there. You can call the Best Buy Geek Squad at 1-800 this or that, or you can, go online, you can chat with a bot, or there's all sorts of things that you can do. But that connection that comes from sitting down with somebody and having a conversation and putting them in a position to say, I got to go with that.
If you have an experience, I think you might find you're going to have some clients.
Yeah.
That called you just because they wanted somebody
to talk
there.
To.
Yeah.
And
we do that.
Come tell me this. I want you to have a cup of coffee.
No, it's very true. There's a visit aspect to the service that is absolutely heartwarming. I just wrote a blog on this and it's titled, There's Always a Snack. And so there's always a snack. And so it's on our website, but I'll give you all the information. But it's, it talks about that connectedness that happens when you just sit down with somebody and have a conversation. And that is probably, I'd say 50% of our in-person visits is a visit. And just catching up on the grandkids and what's going on and the funny things that happened to them and their perceived failures. And I use that word deliberately, perceived failures with technology. So I agree with you that the human component is very, very important. I know I'm completely out of time, so let's go to the next one. So, and then healthy behaviors, the ability to track activity, connect with like-minded community, join exercise, chair yoga classes. There's so many things that you can do to promote healthy behavior. And then mental and cognitive, accessing music and video content. There are mental acuity games that can keep minds active, obviously community engagement, and then really helping them stay on top of different tasks and schedules that they have and reminders for doctor's appointments and all of that fun stuff. We could hit that next one. So my point being, technology is a really powerful tool when you're thinking about health and wellness for older adults, but only if they use it. Next slide, please. And so, I spend a lot of time thinking about this, reading about it, researching it, experiencing it firsthand with our members. And we're actually right now in a bid with LA County to close the digital divide for older adults and disabled. And it's really interesting to be a part of something like that and listen to how they're trying to solve the problem, because it's very device and internet driven, which is important. But based on our experience and based on the data that we see in the market, the training and the digital literacy and giving people access to somebody that cannot one and done train them. Here's your tablet. Here's how you turn it on. Good luck. But giving them a resource that they can return to so that as they learn this device and they experience this device, they can do it the way that they want to, and they have a partner to help them along, is really critical. And we're really focused on this grant for LA County right now, because we see a different way than the way it's been done in the past, and we're hopeful that we'll get to play a role in that.
You mentioned you and your partner. How many other associates have you brought on?
So
we can't do it all.
But we can't do it all. And I have three concierge currently that are working very actively in LA, Orange County, and in Arizona. And then we also have a part-time concierge in Wisconsin because we're working in our community there. And so we're growing. And that's where my expertise comes in for the company is when I worked in technology, I worked with brands building teams across the country to deploy into retail stores. And so I know how to build scalable in-person teams, which is such an important part of this solution. So we've got the three full-time plus the one in Wisconsin for four concierge. And then we have a team of marketing, sales, kind of the back office operations folks as well. So we're small but mighty.
Nobody's mighty.
Yeah.
Cost is really the biggest problem.
It really is.
I know Orange County is, you know, a wealthy area, so you don't think about it as much. Probably, I have friends back in high school back in rural Ohio, so it's not quite as high cost of living back there. I find technology really, in respect to other things, it's very cheap, so I'm surprised that's a problem. Is it like cost of an iPhone or cost of a tablet or smart TV? Is that, that's really a big problem?
It's a huge problem for us in LA County. It's massive.
I understand LA County. LA County is
in Orange County. I mean,
right,
you guys might be able to tell me better. Orange County did the tablet distribution, mm-hmm. but I've met with Meals on Wheels. I've met with the Alzheimer's Association. I know LaValle from Orange County Outreach. I've worked with Todd Hansen at Council of Aging. Mm-hmm. And the challenge just to get it distributed effectively and then get the internet set up and then to train and to find reliable, consistent outlets to train. And there's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of hair on it.
We have in Costa Mesa a high rise, low income complex across the street from the senior center. And they have a remote managing company. So this community has no access to computers because they don't even have a computer room. And the people I speak to there still, if they have anything, they have flip phones.
Yeah.
And that's as far as it goes. And when they go to the senior center, if they can get there across the street, taking their lives in their hands. Okay. But are these smartphones? All I need is this flip thing.
Yeah.
And it's so we have
the
issues. We have the problem here in Orange County. It's just not evident for everyone. And one of the other things that came to mind when we were talking about health was if you've ever been into the doctor's office now and you observe that the seniors approach that check-in device.
Yes, yeah.
And they're panicked.
That's right.
And they just sit down and they just wait for someone to help them.
That's right.
And that's a real frustration. We say, well, just go push the buttons, just follow the commands.
Yeah.
That's right. And they can't.
And then we have the language issues. That's
right.
And then we have the language issues. We all know. But I wanted you all to see the extent of how this is all integrating into all of our lives and ways that we just can't leave behind.
Surprise, surprise, I have an opinion. Why don't we bring this to our new group forum?
Yeah.
I have a personal vendetta because I have been asking for this for 2 years, and I've been told repeatedly that I'm underestimating the sophistication of the adult population in Orange County and that we didn't need it. And I said, well, I have 15 people on my Meals on Wheels run who all have devices and they can't use them. So now we have people coming to St. John's and people come to the different places and they're doing like little one-on-ones with them. But it's taken a long time.
And then we have the language issue.
And whether your model is the one that gets used, we could embrace the idea that people need some handhold.
Joni, may I suggest you reach out to Sandy Stang and Barbara Sloat?
No problem.
And they're the ones that are organizing the presentations for next year, you know, for this SCAC general meeting. And it will be a very, that's the issue with all of these smaller meetings, because they are so invaluable to the whole group, to the group as a whole.
Sure.
So, you know, exactly. Yeah. So,
presentation could stand on its own, but I think it's the personal touch and your way of speaking about it just.
I send you guys out the presentations all the time.
Yeah.
It doesn't come close to being in the room as the presentation is given.
Yeah.
You know, because anyone can read a slide, but it's putting it in context and, you know, having that additional information available.
How many of you use Google Maps to get her? How many of you used your calendar to remember what time the meeting was?
I use Siri. I've
already taken my flight today. I've already, you know,
but just this conversation, she uses Siri, she uses something different. And so giving people the ability to have access to, I agree with you that people want to underplay this issue and maybe they can figure it out and it's intuitive. That's the problem. It's not intuitive for older adults. No. And so as a community, I remember going to Laval when I was thinking about making this jump. And I said, should I do this? And he said, even if it doesn't work, I pray you do it because we need business to try to address this problem. The county can't do it alone. And it's been it's been life-changing for me.
And we're seeing that with our ATT program with, you know, the iPads that we've been giving out, the last summit that we had, I mean, we distributed over 230 iPads and we knew going into it, it's like, okay, don't just send someone a device to the box.
Yeah.
You know, so we helped with a digital plan. We helped with training. That was all part of the package because otherwise they'd just sit on the shelf unopened.
That's right. That's absolutely right. So there's not much. Oh, go ahead. Go for it.
I don't think your team. Yeah, I got phone calls to make a couple of quick ones.
Yeah.
You mentioned your team that you have, you're hiring. Let me suggest something. High school and college kids.
You looked at them. Yes.
They're up there on everything. It would be great summer jobs for them. Maybe even some do internships through the year. And it would be a low cost, high productivity because they know this inside now.
They do. As a challenge.
And they also
have
better with grandma and grandpa.
Well, but they also, they don't always want to teach, they want to do.
Exactly. My kids are the same way.
They need training. Like there's a duality of value in there that I love of bringing the community together across
generations.
But finding 20 somethings that have
service. Or even high school kids.
And the other thing, Saddleback College, I'm sure all the other universities have emeritus courses. I don't know if they've got any that teach this. I think maybe they do, but getting some these for maybe you could even have hire you as to teach an emeritus course on this.
Yeah.
That would help tremendously.
Yeah, it's a good idea. I mean, we really are exploring all options. My hope in sitting down with you guys is to just learn more about how we can be helpful to the community. Certainly we're looking for partnerships. Certainly we're looking to grow the business, but at the core of it, we're looking to be helpful. And so if you see a path to that we can do that, that will be beneficial, then we should talk about it.
I think it's good. I like Dave's idea, but I would totally emphasize that there needs to be a huge, there's going to be a big training curve in bringing your high school students in. We tried it in Laguna Niguel at the Sea Country Senior and Community Center. And it was great for, the concept was great because you were bringing multi-generations together and each were learning from each other. But the speed and sharpness of a 17-year-old's mind is not the same.
And patience.
And my kids have done the same. Like, you know, I was trying to do something on my phone and my daughter grabs it from me. She goes, oh, mom, here, this is how you do it. I said, don't do it for me.
Yeah.
Show me how to do it.
That's
yeah.
Right.
It's like, and it's, they're so quick. You know,
yes.
We were all there at one point. We were all very quick.
Yeah.
You know, things slow down over the years.
But now you're here and capable.
Yes.
That, so you're welcome and please slow down.
Yes. Yes.
So if we could just, so from our perspective, self-help isn't the answer. You know, I got a lot of questions early on. Well, there's plenty of YouTube channels. If they could just Google it, figure it out. But, you know, having patient, caring tech support, a tech resource to tap into somebody to help you decide what's best for you has been invaluable for the folks that we're working with. And I firmly believe that it's more than tech support. I tease when I talk to corporations that shuffleboard is to pickleball, what's smarter is to the computer room. We have to evolve the way that we think to give people support with technology on their terms, the way that they want to use it. And so the impact is huge, and we see it in the media every day. I don't know if you saw with the Lahaina fire that happened in Hawaii, less than 10% of the community over 65 had the emergency broadcast set up on their phone. There were fatal consequences for that reality and them not being comfortable using that technology. There's a recent article of a gentleman up in LA, in an LA apartment building, who got locked out of his apartment on a Sunday and couldn't get back in because they had digitally changed all the locks, and he was not connected to text or email to get that notification. And then we all hear about the fraud that's happening. So really turning up the volume and talking about what's happening with fraud, talking about how to navigate online safety, doing classes redundantly, and not to scare, but to inform so that you've turned up the volume so you're aware of it, is incredibly important. And then I think my last slide is that, you know, digital literacy gaps are everywhere and the solution is not. And so for Smarter, you know, we recognize people want to stay at home longer. We know that 100% of the people in the communities that we work with are worried about fraud with older adults and protecting them and putting them in a position to protect themselves. 95% of people over the age of 60 have at least one chronic condition that they're managing. Technology can help with that. And 40% don't have the basic literacy skills to use the devices they have or make good decisions on what it is that they might want to have. And so we are looking to help. And that's it. And I went way over time.
Yeah.
Yes. Great presentation.
As long as you keep going, you always have a business. I, like we talked about from the maybe the original computer generation, promise things change all the time. It's going to change between now and next year, stuff that you've never heard of. And also the big problem is I used to, you know, manage programs and things and on some big projects. And the people that program it, I think, are almost a bigger problem because they want to make it more convenient for them programming it than for the end user. And companies are having a bad habit, which I've complained about for years, and some of them explicitly. They'll come out with a new version of something, a new operating system, as a perfect example, the iPhones or any other, or the Androids, and they'll change stuff. And you do it a little differently.
Very frustrating.
And sometimes the old things you liked have disappeared, and sometimes they screw it up.
That's right.
I hate the new Adobe.
And so, I mean, my advice is you never take the new operating system for as long as you can resist it,
yeah.
Because they're going to come out with fixes for it. I know the problem, but
yeah
the, I guess I'm saying to emphasize to the people you teach that they're not privy out there. Unless someone said you're smarter than they are, because they don't realize that this looks really stupid. It's not intuitive like they thought it would be.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, there's all sorts of problems. And you even, you know, excuse me, I was at Leading Age last week in Chicago. Which are you guys all familiar with what Median Age is?
Yeah.
Median Age is a conference that's focused on CCRC, non-for-profit retirement communities. But wonderful event. And it's a trade show. And so there's a lot of vendors there that are selling things, and then the communities come through to learn about what's happening. The amount of technology on that floor was mind-blowing. Everything from movement monitoring devices, you know, and lamps to see if people got out of bed, resident engagement systems to simplify ordering food or knowing about activities. You know, there were, you know, health devices you could wear. I mean, it was just across the map. And when I was talking to these communities, there's this other aspect of technology that's a reality too, which is it's wearing people out that work in the industry. They are overwhelmed by it. There's too much of it. They don't have the time to create the new operational paths that are required for their organization to shift from paper-based delivery for communication to resident engagement electronic delivery. And so what ends up happening is they get double the work because now they're printing it out, they're trying to convince people to use it, and they've got 20% adoption rate. It's smarter to help communities with that, create those operational pathways, create encouragement programs for staff so that they can kind of lily pad their way to learning new process, help residents learn the value of the investment, why they're doing it, let them practice in practice sessions. So there's just, the problem is so massive that if I sit down and let it wash over me, it can feel overwhelming, but it's so needed. And I'm so excited to be even a tiny part of trying to solve it.
Yeah, just a little comment on AI. AI seems to be in the news now, but everybody's afraid of AI and all of this. AI has been around forever. Let me give you a great example. Back in World War I, they red beer and all they threw these little airplanes, you know, and they shoot with a machine gun. They had a timer so the bullets would hit the propeller.
Yeah.
First big problem. And they were shooting at them. Nowadays, if you're a fighter pilot, I mean, even decades ago, you never see the other plane. Your sensors tell us there, push the button, it's gone. You never see anything. You might not see the explosion.
Yeah.
And it's just, I think it's called Deep Blue, the one that finally learned how to play chess. Mm-hmm. Biggest problem that it had was because it did not sacrifice.
Yeah.
And now it knows how to sacrifice.
Yeah.
And it's just the making it fast. And at least your point you mentioned that you get exhausted because these machines, once they program them, it's just teaching them how to do things. They can do it much faster. They are smart idiots. Mm-hmm. I should say they're fast.
They are smart idiots. Yes, we will get dumber as a culture if we completely
feed them.
Yeah.
We are smart, but very smart.
That's right.
And that's the fatiguing part.
And it's also, you know, it's just the ChatGPT-3. I agree with you. It's been around forever, but it's it has hit the mass market in a way that consumers are capable of using it. It doesn't mean they should.
Yeah.
You know, but it can dialogue with you almost human-like, and it captures your thinking and remembers.
Oh, my God.
I know it's a little creepy.
Do not like that at all.
African person use that? What would be an example?
I mean, there's been so many things that coming out.
Well, no. So I'm going to send out an email to all of you, and I could put in a couple of key phrases for chat and the audience that I want it to address, and it will create my email for me.
Your cover letter, if you want to apply for some kind of a position or commission.
So that's another side of it. So yes, the algorithms that make some of these other things work at breakneck speed, right, also available to mimic me and my writing style that might help me automate outreach to clients, right?
Yes. You go to the store.
I can't see it on my phone. I can see it now.
They said you coupons for things you like and entice you to buy things, maybe more expensive, different, and the things you like. They get you tracked.
Well, this is hitting the universities and the college.
It is.
Because we spoke to this one student from UCLA, what? I can do this?
It's awesome. My daughter's in college right now. She's doing a semester abroad in Australia, and they have really locked down. They have a Socratic method of teaching, and they have a very strict rule about using AI. But there's really no way for them to manage it. And it's, you know, it comes down to the ethics of the student and whether they're willing to learn. And I'm not kidding when I say it will create a dumber culture if people over depend on it, because you can literally ask it, you know, if you're stuck, and I've used it for this, I want to talk about older adults and health and wellness, and please include sources. It will spit out for me a laundry list of things. Now, if I don't do my homework, it's a computer. It's not thinking for me. Like, it will give you some random, like, fruit snacks have 46%, sugar in them. I'm like, that's nothing to do. But, you know, it will get smarter over time.
I remember, in my generation, it was the big thing was, and especially in school, was calculators. Mm-hmm. It was the same kind of thing, but not use a calculator. In any of your exams,
you're screening in boxes with cards that you can take them. I'm starting to write a memoir. And, you know, I just wrote what I thought was me. And then we put it to the chat. And, what? This sounds good. Your website is so clean and easy to navigate.
Oh, I appreciate that.
We just have been attractive. Who created it?
So I used a company called Dingus and Zazzy, of all things. I couldn't get past the name for like a month.
Dingus and Zazzy.
But before them, I used Fiverr. So Fiverr is basically a shared workforce where people can fractionally work. And you can hire people for just about anything for it. Creating websites, a lot of it's outsourced overseas.
So how costly was a website like that? I mean, it's just beautiful.
Well, this one we just did, to be really candid, it was just under $2,000 to get it all done. But our first one that wasn't $2,000, but the first one that the first one that we did was also pretty, and it was only $500. So it just depends on what you want to do and how
interactive you want to be.
I got to get those names. I'm still on have actually. I'm sorry.
Dingus.
D-I-N-G-U-S.
U-S.
Okay.
And the word and Zazzy, Zazzy.com. I can send it and follow up to Rachel too if you guys want to.
Okay. I want the cheaper one.
Yeah. That's great. It says closed on my website. I was paying $25
a month.
Oh,
for years.
Right.
Yeah. So just, you know, it was done and I created it.
Yeah.
That's just too much money.
Yeah.
So I copied all my text, saved it in my phone, and I'm like, okay, you can put it back up there again. But
yeah, services like that, it's just, you just have to have somebody who can direct them, because they're not, it's not the kind of service where you can say, well, I kind of want this, and like, good luck. You've really got to manage them along the way. But if you're clear on what you want, you know visually what you like, there's so many templates and stuff out there now that I'll send that.
Thank you. And now, and yes, we know, I'm sorry, we know that there is a big digital divide in the ethnic communities, and
yes,
huge. I'm not sure how we're ever going to get to that, but we will. And I think GPT 3, aren't we on 5?
Yeah, they,
yeah. But ultimately, it seems to be learning. The chat system seems to be learning and reaching out to services, and eventually those translations are going to work. Although how many of us have picked up instructions for something and you read the English and you just know that this was not an English speaking person who wrote those. But I wanted you all to see what kinds of services are there and to think about all of the places that technology is meeting our clients and people that we are serving. And that's why I asked.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. And I imagine if Barbara and Sandy will put her on the list, that we could probably get a bigger.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah. The more people I talk to, the more I learn. And, you know, we're still trying to figure out how to serve lower income. We are talking to the Annenberg right now up in LA, and they have a high English, Spanish, and Korean population. And so, mm-hmm. We're deliberately looking for somebody that can serve all of those languages, because language is an issue. And I think it changes depending on the markets you serve. I'm just, you know, what we're struggling with is everybody sees the problem. The path to payment is hard, you know, because it's not an affluent problem. It's an everyone problem. And so I'm trying to figure out this grant situation. I'm trying to figure out how I can work with city councils to get funding. I don't have all the answers. And so if you guys, I'll leave my contact information behind. If anybody has any ideas or they want to brainstorm with me, I'd be so grateful as we just look to solve this problem, because it's here, it exists, it's deep, and it can't be ignored.
So one last story, just for me. So my granddaughter is 3.5 years old.
Oh, yeah.
Say, and in my living room is a speaker from Sonic. Anyway, and she is standing in front of it like this. Alexa, turn on the music. Alexa, Baby Shark. Grandpa, Alexa doesn't work.
I know. They expect an automated world. I'll end with my very, very last story. That's my favorite story at the moment, which is Al, who I showed you the accessibility features. that we were doing for macular degenerative. And he had had to hand off the responsibility of Bill Payne to his wife because he can't see anymore. He can't read the bills. He can't read the checks in order to write them. And I had found this piece of technology that attaches to your monitor that essentially acts like when we're all in grade school, those transparencies that they use.
Oh, yeah.
Back.
Yeah.
It does the same thing, but on his computer screen. And the look on his face when he was able to slide a bill under that magnifier and put a check under there and write a check was life-changing for him. And I got a call from his son later that day. And he said, you know, Vita, your ability to recognize that he needed this technology and get it installed from him gave him back a little piece of who he was before this damn disease started. And that's why we're doing this. That's why we're trying to solve it. It has not been easy, but again, I invite any feedback, support, recommendations, partnership. I'm here for all of it. So I really appreciate you guys having me.
So Braille organization.
Say again?
The Braille organization.
I know. He actually introduced me to that.
That's another one because they'd be interested because they would share your information with you.
So we'll cut this off. Let's finish our business and Vita will stay. So I'm not sure where this goes.
We're pretty much done. Unless anyone has anything that they would like to share with the rest of the group,
but I do.
Okay. Okay.
Rachel, at this meeting or at the tomorrow's meeting? When you wrote me that the surveys of older adults that could be done online, and I said I got the feedback my people did not want to do it online.
You didn't get them.
No, you said you would be bringing them.
Yeah, I am bringing. Okay, so
me and Rebecca. I don't know.
Irene. I actually have them in the back of my car, so I'm happy to walk out with you.
And please take the answers. But that's not where I was going. So it is, we're dark next month, and I have nothing. I've run up against what I'd like to share with you all. So I need some input on programs that we might do for the first couple of months next year because we haven't been approved for our bylaw changes yet. So we're still having these meetings.
Let me give a little bit of an update on that. Right now, the bylaws are scheduled to go to the Board of Supervisors on January 23rd. So for the month of January, things will continue as is until we get the new set of bylaws approved. And the executive committee is going to be meeting on Friday to talk about focus for 2024 in light of what's going to happen with committees, where we're going to focus on, how we're going to move forward. So they will be having that discussion. I think Meredith and Jane will probably address it tomorrow. Speaking of tomorrow, please do not forget the meeting. General SCEP meeting is tomorrow. It is not on Friday. It is tomorrow. At 9:30 at Easter Seals. So looking forward to seeing everyone there. And that's about just for my end. Anyone else?
I do have one question or comment, and I know it's probably been asked before, but will we ever provide these meetings in 2024 so that community members could watch them on Zoom instead of in person? It's really frustrating because we have limited ability to get all this information to people. But when I've tried to tell a few seniors to say, well, why don't they just show it at the senior center on a Friday or whatever day of the week? And we could gather and watch it. So, I mean, we're talking technology, and yet that's a limitation that we have.
There's a lot of limitations that go along with like the meetings. For example, this meeting is recorded. Mm-hmm. It's digitally recorded,
right.
Voice recorded. So you can go and it's posted on the website. So people can go on and listen to it. It's not as interactive as if you had it on YouTube or you had it on Zoom. We do not have the ability to have Zoom meetings right now per law. We cannot do it. There is no provision. We were able to do it when COVID hit because there were certain changes that were made on an interim basis to the Brown Act and the Open Meetings Act rules. when that was taken away and there was no longer a declaration of emergency, all these meetings went back to in-person.
Even though the County Board of Supervisors meetings are...
They're recorded,
they're televised.
So they go out live.
Okay.
We do not have the ability to do that. The amount of funding that it would cost for us to install and have that done is far beyond the scope of what we have.
And I'm actually careful. All city councils are equipped with that. If you get permission to just use their equipment, that would be much less fun. I might be able to arrange that.
I think it goes beyond than just using their equipment, because I know in Laguna Niguel, I was part of setting up their room for broadcasting, and it's an entire room. It's an entire room that manages not only the live broadcast that goes out, but it also manages like all of the other interactive aspects of it as well. So it's not as easy as just getting the equipment, bringing it up, recording it, and putting it out there, because there are certain requirements that we have as well that we need to keep recordings.
I wonder, I don't know all of the ins and outs of the laws, so I'll just bring this out there. There's a lot of AI technology that can record meetings and summarize the findings. There's a particular one I'll send to Rachel post this meeting called Read AI. And it's interesting because what it does is it listens to the discussion that you've had, it summarizes it into key points. It simplifies it from an action. It is a little scary. It simplifies it into action items, and it records, it can video record if you choose to have it do it. It can video record snippets that you can then release out as a recap to the community that may be interesting. So I'll send it. You can take a look at it, Rachel. I'll even send one of my more boring meetings so you can see what it looks like, but it might be an interesting thing.
I was just going to say that I didn't speak in that idea. State meeting, they don't allow AI recording in the meeting.
Yeah.
So, and they monitor that and they let you know if someone is using it, they would turn on your monitor or they turn off your meeting.
So, I have my mother-in-law is, if she's on the board.
Okay.
So,
let's
turn the meeting. Yeah.
Okay. Now we can have that discussion.
So, my mother-in-law is looking forward to this.